May I ask you this question, sir?
Specifically.
Are you a believer?
I beg your pardon?
Are you a believer?
Of course.
Of course I am. Well, science proves that there is an intelligence. I don't
want... No, it doesn't, sir.
The universe with the...
I'm surprised that you would say that.
Well, the universe...
A man with your training could not say that science proves it.
But he said something else, John.
It's continuing to prove it to...
No, it isn't proving it, sir. But however, I can understand your belief in it.
No, I'm just saying it. I don't even like the word God because it was derived from the word good. But we're so brainwashed with the child.
No, you've got me beat on that. Do you agree with that?
He's talking about the Anglo-Saxon usage of the term good, which came from the Nordic and then came down to us as God. This part is true. But the actual usage of the term itself goes back into antiquity, and particularly in Judaism, to a specific name, Elohim or Adonai, Lord, or something like this, and good or God. Yehovah or Yahweh or Yahweh, any one of the ones, the combinations that you want to use. The fact still remains that he's accurate etymologically from the Anglo-Saxon.
Thank you, sir.
One of the things that has surprised me constantly is that those scientists who are in a narrow spectrum of science, such as electrical engineers, etc., where they deal with rigid rules, are quite frequently very religious, because they can make the transference from the belief in the rigid scientific rules to the belief in the religious authoritarian ideas. And quite frequently we find that these persons with a narrow education are very, very religious.
We have another call on here. May I help you?
Yes, I'd like to direct my remark to the Reverend Martin.
And he's listening to you.
Yes, thank you. When he was speaking to the rabbi before on the phone, somehow I got the impression he was trying to catch the rabbi in saying that because we say we being the Jewish people, we did not kill Christ, that means that we are recognizing the fact that Christ did exist, therefore we say we did not kill him. But what I wanted to tell him is when I was a young girl and I lived in a Jewish neighborhood, they had many, many Christian people there. And somehow these Christian children were taught that the Jewish children had killed Christ. Now, we were constantly being beat up because we killed Christ. And we constantly would tell them we didn't kill him. Now, what we were trying to say to them is we didn't even know who Christ was. At least I didn't until I was maybe 12 years old. But yet I constantly had to say that I didn't kill him. But this didn't mean that I believed that he was that he was a person who existed. And I thought perhaps if he spoke to somebody like myself who was not a theologian,
yes.
I'm so nervous.
Don't be nervous, my dear.
But somebody who's just an average person and somebody who had to live through years in Brooklyn being constantly beat up, never mind the people in Europe.
I lived in Brooklyn, too.
Pardon me?
Beat her up, huh? But you weren't Jewish.
No, I didn't beat her up. I wasn't even a Christian then.
No, but you know what you said before, and I tell you something. I usually go to bed early, but I happened to wake up and hear this, and I've been furious ever since. All these people...
See what you've been missing for years?
No, I listened to your earlier show, and I've been listening to you for years. But what I wanted to say is all these children who today are taught that the Jews didn't kill Christ... Now, you've just taught all these children all over again to beat up all my children and my nephews who are now, in this day and age, 1968, still getting beaten up because they killed Christ.
Can I answer your question, miss?
Yes.
Can I answer your question? Yes. I didn't teach them anything of the sort, and the tape will bear it out. I said some Jews at the time of Pontius Pilate were responsible for delivering Jesus of Nazareth to death. That's what I said.
May I say this to you, Walter, though? I think it is wrong to say some Jews. I think it is better, if this is true, if history is true, and I don't know, I think it's better to say that some guys, some men, delivered Christ, not Jews. You see, right away, when you tie it up with an ethnic group, you are actually condemning these people as a group rather than individual.
That doesn't logically follow at all.
Well, it may not be logical to you, but it's very, very logical to me, because this is what causes anti-Semitism. This is what causes hatred by identifying members of a group. It's the same thing as some man rapes a girl on the street. And in the paper, it's reported a Negro raped a girl on the street. Right away, Negroes rape women. It has nothing to do with that. Men rape women. It has nothing to do with Jews, Catholics, Negroes or any ethnic group.
John, let me answer your question.
I didn't give you a question, sir. It was a statement.
Okay, I'll answer
You're not listening to the punctuation. How can you answer a statement?
I'll answer it.
How can you? It isn't a question.
I won't have a chance if you won't let me speak. The New Testament teaches the responsibility of the Jews at that time who delivered Jesus of Nazareth to crucifixion.
What a horrible document.
I accept this as historic truth. I am not accusing the Jew today of this. In fact, I'll go further than that. The Jew and the Gentile today who rejects him as Savior crucifies him again. I believe this.
Let me ask...
That's pretty wild, isn't
it? That is pretty rough stuff, Walter. Go ahead, young lady.
Well, first of all, I'm really sorry he didn't live in my neighborhood, which was a middle-income neighborhood, and didn't have the beatings that I had. And I hope if he has children, he's going to teach them to be a heck of a lot more lenient to little Jewish kids than he seems to be towards Jews in general.
Thank you, ma'am.
I would like to make one statement right here.
All right.
I have many friends who are Jewish.
Oh, come on.
And I am not
anti-Semitic.
Come on.
I am not
anti-Semitic.
Some of my best friends are Jewish.
I resent the idea that Mrs. Murray makes a statement, says, I'm anti-Semitic.
No.
Some Jew picks it up in Brooklyn and says, he's teaching children to beat my kids up. I reject it.
No, but you just... Wait a minute. But your last statement, Walter.
I reject it.
No, wait, but you're... Well, reject the last statement and you'll be better off.
I will not. It's true.
In other words, if a Jew has not seen the value of Christianity, then there is something wrong with it.
If the Jew or the Gentile
does
not receive God's Son as their Savior, the Scripture says they're
Jesus
lost.
Christ.
Yes, they're lost.
Thank
That's
you, young lady.
Pen into the world.
Good night.
Good morning.
John? Yes.
I don't have 400 shares of stock, but by golly, I'd like to get my opinion in on here.
Well, go ahead. You're a real listener.
Yes, I am.
I know that line. Go ahead.
I'd like to say to the Reverend Martin.
Yes.
Why does he let this woman laugh at him? How does she know so much? Who is she?
I'll answer the question by simply saying that I'm willing to conduct a discussion with Mrs. Murray on any specific points, and I'm delighted for specific points, but Mrs. Murray has her own vocabulary.
Right.
She has a whole series of cliches that she uses, and Mrs. Murray will not even admit to the basic logical proposition of an if. If you say to Mrs. Murray, for instance, if God exists, Mrs. Murray will then say to you, no, I won't even grant that there's a possibility of God's existence. Now, a person who begins...
Because she is atheistic. She's not agnostic.
Let me finish. Let me finish, John.
John.
A person who is seeking to further, as she says in the aims of her society, freedom of thought, can hardly be furthering freedom of thought by closing their mind to any evidence.
Right.
And she does that, just like
that. Not only that, but the way she laughed at that gentleman on Ellen Burke's show was terrible. And she's doing that to you, too.
Well, it doesn't disturb me.
Don't let her do it.
I find religious people to be pretty funny.
You do? Well,
yes, I do.
Well, I find you to be a heck of a lot funnier. And I'm not spelling it the right way.
Well, I'll tell you...
Only because I have respect for Long John Neville. Not for you, lady.
Well, look, I think something is very important here, and I want to say this so I'm on record once and for all. I have great respect for Mrs. Murray in her convictions. She's an honest agent.
But not the way she...
What I want to say now. Let me finish here.
All right.
I have respect for Mrs. Murray... Because she's an honest atheist, she comes out and says what she believes, and she doesn't care what people do to her because of her convictions. There's a lot of atheists in schools, there's a lot of atheists in higher education, atheists in government, atheists in politics, who believe exactly as Mrs. Murray believes, but they don't have the courage of their convictions. Mrs. Murray at least has that. What I object to in Mrs. Murray is not having the courage of her convictions. And not being dedicated and not feeling that she's right or anything like this. What I object to in Mrs. Murray is that she won't give other people the honesty that she wants other people to accord her.
If she's such
I don't
an
think
honest
that
atheist, then why did she have her children baptized?
I don't... Well, she gave a reason for that.
No, she gave a very
gave
legitimate
a reason, for
reason
that.
My dear. One that many of us do things to bring a little bit of happiness to our parents. You know, the majority, let me strike that word, majority. Many young people who get married would rather go downtown to City Hall and get the whole thing over with But they go along to make their parents happy to have a big religious wedding. And I think it's nice if parents have been good to you throughout your life, you might try to make them happy too. And it really isn't that much of a chore to have a regular formal religious wedding. So I think I admire Mrs. Murray for this attitude that she did something because she wanted to be able to enjoy the company of her parents and to have her parents enjoy the opportunity of being with their grandchildren. And this is the only way that this could work out. But you mustn't forget that she did nothing to have Mr. Murray give up the Catholic Church, his own religion. She did nothing to discourage her parents, but as a human being, she has lived her own life with her own principles and her own views, and I admire her for it. I don't think anybody can criticize her for it.
You know, I would like to add something there. If my parents had said to me when my children were 13, 12 or 13, "Now, Madeline, we expect you to take your children and have them confirmed in the Presbyterian Church," I would have said no. This is a decision up to that child. It's not up to me and it's not up to you. And they would have had trouble with me right then and there.
If that child had said yes, would you have gone along with him?
I'll tell you what I always say about this, and in a way it's a gag, in a way it isn't a gag. If my son, who is 22 years old now, would write to me a letter and say, "Mother, I have just been ordained into the Catholic Church and I'm going to be a priest," I would feel, all right, this is his business. I'll go ahead and let him do it. I'll
WNBC, New York.
But he can do it.
I don't know, lady.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
John, good night.
Bye-bye.
At least you progressed to honey.
Oh. Hi there.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Let's roll. Come on.
Yes. No, I want to say first, I'm an atheist and a pessimist in that order. And now I have a question for Mrs. Murray.
There's no atheist that's a pessimist, believe me.
No.
All right, what's your question, honey? Come on.
I heard someone in the background. Oh, all right. Mrs. Murray, do you see any remote possibility, as you've traveled around and lectured and so on, of atheism, belief in man and life on earth, ever replacing religion, belief in God, and life after death as preempting life on earth? Do you see any hope?
Actually, there's two phenomena going on in America at the same time. One is that there is a rapid falling away from Orthodox religion and a rapid liberalizing of religion. There's a movement, I think, of the Protestants toward humanism, and there's a movement of the Roman Catholics toward what they call ecumenism, which is a kind of acceptance of the old Protestant belief, so that there's this constant liberalization and falling away from the church. And this is brought about not so much by me, but by science, by our ability now to instantaneously convert news items to everybody, etc., the amount of education that we have, and the amount of, space probes, all of this is causing it falling away from religion. But at the same time, in the other direction, we have a very frightening thing.
Right.
And that frightening thing is that religion is gaining tremendous political and economic power like never before in our life. And I am very, very worried about this. I think that ultimately there will be a non-religious, humanistic world where people will be concerned with the world here and now and forget this rubbish about a life hereafter.
Thank you very much, Brigitte.
Can I ask you?
No, sorry, you've had it.
All right, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
I think that it's perfectly true that organized religion is becoming diluted.
It is.
I would agree with Mrs. Murray on this, but I think Mrs. Murray will have to face up to the fact that so far as the Bible is concerned, so far as Christianity itself is concerned, so far as the historic testimony of the church is concerned, we have not altered our position simply because liberalism has swept into the church. We still believe the historic gospel.
We're taking calls on Plaza 7, 8866. PL 7, 8866. We'll take your call right now. Good morning. Are you there?
Yes, hello.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Murray?
Turn your radio down, sir. She's listening to you.
Mrs. Murray?
Yes, I'm here.
It seems interesting that you seem to know things that that don't exist. You seem to know that the people in the first century were very illiterate. You seem to know that the life hereafter is rubbish. You seem to know that people who believe in God, there's something wrong with their mental capacity.
Not capacity, condition.
Condition. Mental condition, yeah.
Go ahead, I'm with you.
Can I ask you one simple question? If, for example, you were shown proof to the existence of God, would you believe
in it? Impossible. So you have to stop right there. There's no... You know that for about 6,000 years, there have been proofs of God presented by persons who believe in God. And there are 9 classic groups of proof. And if any one of those classic groups of proof had been acceptable at any time in human history, God would have been established. Or he could settle the argument tonight by just appearing someplace. He doesn't, you see.
Very facetious, you know.
No, I'm not being facetious. I'm very, very serious.
Because if you had any concept whatsoever in religion, and forget about the word organized religion, but what religion believes in, then this question wouldn't be raised at all. If you would know what God means, then this question wouldn't be raised. Why God?
Now, what kind of God are you talking about? Are you talking about Buddha, or are you talking about a Muslim God? Are you talking about a Chinese God? Are you talking about the Egyptian God Ra, or are you talking about the Jewish God Yahweh? Are you what kind of God are you talking about? You're talking about a very specific...
We're talking about a God which is a supreme intelligence and a supreme power, which has created the world and continues to sustain it. That's the type of God we're talking about.
Now you've put a lot of things together here. First, you say that there's a supreme intelligence. Nobody knows whether this is true or not, and you can't even define what supreme intelligence is. You don't know whether the world was created or whether
I cannot
it wasn't
define what
I disagree. Wait a minute.
Telling me that I cannot define it?
Yes, that's what she said, sir.
A supreme intelligence means the highest possible form of intelligence.
Sir, that doesn't mean anything.
That doesn't mean a thing.
Of knowledge. That is a simple definition of supreme intelligence.
Sir, does it... wait a moment. Walter Martin wants to say something, sir.
I just want to draw attention once again to Mrs. Murray's line of reasoning. She says, nobody knows whether God exists or not. Nobody can prove it. But Mrs. Murray knows. Because Mrs. Murray says...
No logical arguments have been produced in over 6,000 years of your beating your heads to try to get something
How would you know?
Mrs. Murray,
you don't listen.
Mrs. Murray?
You don't listen to any logical argument. You reject logic.
Sir, we do have a number of other calls. Thank you for calling us. Thank you very much, sir.
I didn't finish with Mrs. Murray yet.
I realize that, sir, but, I mean, you'd like to be on all night, and I don't blame you. I
didn't get my point across
here. Well, sir, if you didn't get your point across in this amount of time, then I'm sorry, because there are many, many other people, and they might raise the point that you have in mind. Thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Good morning.
Hello?
Yes.
Along John Level?
Yes, sir. This is he.
Yeah, I'd like to make a couple of comments.
All right, let's cut it down to one. Otherwise, a lot of people never get on the air tonight.
Very short comments. The first one is that concerning Rabbi Hollander's statement, the Reverend made a point of asking him about Jesus Christ. Now, the Jewish people do relieve themselves of all guilt of killing Jesus Christ. However, what the Reverend was trying to pinpoint the Rabbi into saying that Jesus Christ existed as the Messiah.
Don't try to put words into Walter Martin's mouth. That he did not try to say.
Well, if he has existed as an historical figure, and then from this historical figure is derived the concept of Messiah...
I wasn't saying that.
According to your argument, it logically follows that...
Good heavens, how we detest logic tonight. Well, all I said to the rabbi was that... it was a very simple thing. All I wanted him to say was, historic Judaism has always denied... guilt or complicity in the death of Jesus of Nazareth. And he said yes.
And true. Yeah.
And then you asked them whether the Jewish people believed in whether Jesus Christ existed or not.
I asked him if it was not true that in history, the Jewish scholars always conceded the historical existence of Christ. That's
postulating this is a positive question.
They have conceded him. They existed. They believe that he existed as a person, but not as a Messiah.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to prove.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Can I make one more comment?
No, sir, I'm sorry. We have a lot of other calls. We would be unfair to the other listeners as well. I appreciate your interest. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
I could almost believe in this whole thing, you know, by the time I got on. All right, I have a question from Madeline Murray.
All right, what is it, please?
I am an atheist. I have a daughter. She has gone to private school for 8 years. I had no problem. They were very liberal in their views, and they didn't, you know, bother me about that. Now she's ready to go into a high school, another private. Now, see, I mean, she solved a beautiful thing in public schools. Now, with private things, it's understandable that these people can determine what they want to do. And I have the brochures, different brochures from different schools, and they say they're non-sectarian, but they do believe in the Christian thing, and that the child should attend some church on Sundays.
Now, what is your question, ma'am?
My question is, will my child be rejected if she doesn't attend any one of these churches that these schools are saying that the child should attend some church?
I would say that she'd be frowned on, yes. I think it's unfortunate.
I don't know whether she would be rejected by the school as a student.
No, she means by the students.
Whether or not she's going to be rejected by the students, of course.
She will.
If you are in a position, my son was not only rejected, he was beaten up all the time. And if you are in a minority viewpoint such as the Jews, here the Jews have been hounded, their children, and non-believers have been hounded all the time. We've been murdered by hundreds of thousands, our viewpoints suppressed.
I'm most concerned with my daughter having... Now, it's not possible for me to have my child with me at home.
But you cannot protect your child. As an atheist, one of the things that you should have done so far is to prepare her with enough kind of inner strength that she can face any kind of criticism that comes and let it roll off of her back.
Yes.
And this is the important thing.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for calling us.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, may I help you?
Yes, is this Long John Nipp?
Yes, this is he.
Am I on now?
You certainly are on.
All right. I'd like to ask some questions. Let me turn this...
Well, let's take one question, please.
Well, it's not about religion. It's about history, the history of Jesus. Did he have any... did Mary and Joseph have any other children besides Jesus?
Reverend Martin, will you answer that question, please?
According to the New Testament record, yes, they had other children.
Did his brothers or sisters follow him in this new religion?
One of his brothers did, James.
Did he mean to start a new religion?
There's a big question about that.
One of his brothers, James, did, and wrote the Epistle of James.
Don't say this so positively. You're not sure. Nobody knows
Mrs. Murray, would you kindly at least admit one thing? That you know nothing about the Bible.
You make very positive statements,
I have to, because
Reverend Martin,
I have
constantly.
Well, I'm going to, because you make them.
But these statements are just your opinion, and your opinion only. They are not based in historic fact. They're not based in biblical fact.
How do you know? How do you know?
Based in any other...
How do you know they're not based in biblical fact?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
They are.
Are they in the Bible?
And you are so ignorant of the Bible, it's pitiful. You go around making it. Wait a minute.
It's
no opinion. I could give you a quiz right now for a first-year Sunday school kid, and you couldn't pass it. You don't know beans about the Bible. You sit here and pretend to be an authority on religion. Your religious background is virtually nil. Now, don't play something you're not. I'm not finished with this. When you talk law... Wait.
When you talk... Whether or not these alleged brothers and sisters ever wrote this...
When you talk law, Mrs. Murray... When you talk philosophy, when you talk your atheism, and you talk separation of church and state, that's your forte. You're welcome to it, and I'm for you as an American. When you get into the field... Yeah,
damn
wait.
Decent of you.
Thanks. But when you get into religion, you are so ignorant, it's pitiful. You lecture on...
This
oh, wait, let me finish.
Because I don't accept your interpretation
of
the Bible. You
factually,
can have this
wait a minute.
Knowledge,
all right, factually.
Believe me, because
wait a
it's
minute.
Useless
wait a minute.
To you
factually.
And everybody else.
Factually, your knowledge of religion is ridiculous. I made a statement a moment ago. I said, very quietly, James, our Lord's eldest brother, believed in him. His
oldest
other,
brother?
Just a moment. Pardon. His elder.
You mean
one
he's
of the,
older
wait,
than
no,
Jesus?
No, wait a minute. No, wait a second. James,
I thought you know that Jesus...
James the elder, he's called. Let me finish. As he's called in the New Testament. Believe.
Incidentally, were they Immaculate Conception?
Would you let me finish?
Or did Joseph have a part in that?
Madam, do you permit courtesy?
No.
Thank you. You made a statement, a clear statement. You said, you don't, nobody knows, it's not even a matter of biblical fact. The tape will bear this out. Now, how would you know it's a matter
Boy,
of biblical fact?
Are you hung up on these tapes?
It's not a matter
you
of biblical
them
fact.
And go home and
Wait
listen to them all the time to hear your voice?
Wait a minute. No, to hear yours. This is the point.
You do not know whether the New Testament makes the statement or not. But you say,
Number one, there is no such thing as four authentic books of the New Testament. Number two, nobody knows who wrote them. Nobody knows when they were written. Nobody knows what they refer to. John is so wild, it's fantastic.
Nobody knows where the Q source is.
Nobody, you don't know
a thing about the Bible. Since you are such
it's
an expert.
It's a conglomeration of rubbish.
Since you're such an expert.
And you're an expert on rubbish?
Just a moment. Would you tell me what the Q source is?
Who knows?
You don't.
Who knows what, Kelly?
You don't.
Who knows this?
You don't know. I do.
No, you do not. You know a couple theories about it that have been advanced.
You're not
going to
get off the hook on this.
A certain religious...
John, you're
going to
stick with this point
scholars.
If you're honest.
No.
She made a statement. It's not biblical. If it's in the Bible, it's biblical.
If it's in the Bible, it is biblical. You may disagree with it.
No, wait a minute.
You can disagree with it. But if it's in the Bible, it's biblical.
We are right now, no, for instance, we are right now having a tremendous argument with the biblical scholars for some people the argument is settled. Whether or not Mary was a virgin or whether this is to be transcribed as a young girl. You're changing the point. No, I am not changing
sure
the point.
Sure you are.
The word Mary the Virgin, this is in the Bible, and this is biblical. Is it biblical that she is an actual physical virgin with a hymen which has not been ruptured, or is it but biblical that she is a young girl? What is it? And this is what I'm talking about. You don't know.
Do you want an answer?
No, well, let's hear his answer.
The biblical answer is that she was undefiled, which means that the hymen was intact and the Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit without human agency. That's the meaning of the word parthenos in the New Testament. Of course,
how come none of the New Testament scholars who are translating at this time are interested in accepting your interpretation of this word?
Do you know
word?
Why? I'll give you the answer. They admit the word parthenos means that, but they say... We don't accept the record, just as you don't accept it. But they admit
and all
the
of
word
these
means
that. People are wrong. The only person who is right is you and
no,
Mary Anaheim.
No, the only person who is right. The only person who is
oh,
right
brother.
Is the text. That's all.
Let me.
I just want you to get that point. You don't even have any idea whether that text is corrupted or not. I want you to realize that you are ignorant of Scripture.
This
of your
all.
Scripture and your interportation.
Virtually,
I admit my ignorance,
madam,
and I thank God
madam,
for it.
Madam, you are ignorant of all Scripture. Let me assure you of that.
Thank you, lady, for calling.
Well, I didn't get my quit.
Well, I think you did. I mean, it's obvious that we can't settle it tonight. Thank you, though. Thank you. Good morning. Hello?
Hello, who's this?
This is Long John. Will you turn your radio down, please?
Yes. I'd like to ask the Reverend Martin...
He's listening to you.
Good. How he correlates his statement that he admires the frankness of Mrs. Murray in being an atheist, now she expounds it, with a statement that he believes that the Gentiles and Jews today, who have not taken Christ as their Savior, are crucifying him today.
How do I...
Same logic.
How do I bring them together? Well, if Mrs. Murray will abstain from her usual wisecracks on the subject, I'll try and answer it. Simply this way. The New Testament record states that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world as the Son of God. The Jews rejected him as the Messiah, and Gentiles after that accepted him. Through the centuries, Jews and Gentiles have disagreed on this basic point, and Christians have received him as the Messiah. I simply maintain that in the Old Testament, God said the Jews were his chosen people, and that they were the channel of salvation to the Gentiles. I maintain that the New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and that through Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, Christianity has become the channel of redemption to the whole world, including the Jew. And any Jew and any Gentile who rejects Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior after God's love to them shown on the cross is guilty of crucifying him afresh. That's what the New Testament says, and I believe it.
Thank you, sir.
Pardon me?
Thank you very much for calling.
And any other interpretation
Hello?
Of the Bible.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Reverend Martin.
What's that?
Reverend Martin.
Yes, he's listening to you, ma'am. Yes. Please make your point or ask your question.
I'd like my point, and I wonder why Reverend Martin isn't emulating the very few words he just said about how God sent his son to be the savior of the world and spread love in the world. Now, where is his love?
May I answer your question?
When he refuses to hand over the few Jews, if it's only a few, as if it were a precious jewel, so that he may need it in the future. He refuses to let go that the few Jews murdered Christ.